Luke's Gospel, please. In Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Jesus is teaching on the kingdom of God. And as we were teaching on Sunday, we were talking about the word of the kingdom. Oh, by the way, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers have Bibles. They can bring one by so you can follow it. Also, we put the scriptures on the video screen here, and you can see those as well. One of the things we want to make sure that we do is good teaching, because teaching develops you. It makes you mature. So we want to make sure that we're giving you good teaching. And he's teaching on the kingdom of God. And we said the kingdom of God is the government of God. It's something that Adam had in the Garden of Eden, and when Adam left or sinned and left the Garden of Eden, of course, the kingdom of God at that time was left, was not available to men until Jesus came back. He reintroduced the kingdom of God. Now, men and women function, of course, supernaturally, but officially the kingdom of God came back when Jesus brought it back. He contained the kingdom of God. He brought the kingdom of God with him. And then he said this in Luke chapter 20, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. So that kingdom is right inside of you. What does that kingdom do? This kingdom, everything you need is in this kingdom. Everything you need is in this kingdom. So if you need healing, it's in the kingdom. If you need joy, it's in the kingdom. Peace, it's in the kingdom. If you need to get a glimpse of your future and pray for revelation of that, that's in the kingdom. If you need power, protection, that's in the kingdom. But another thing that's in the kingdom is provision. Provision. And this provision that's in the kingdom, Jesus taught on it many places. And even here, where he speaks in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, he said, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, if somebody has no revelation of that, they would think that, well, you know, sweetheart, you know you're just poor, or sir, you know you're just poor, but just keep a stiff upper lip. And when you get to heaven, you're going to walk around heaven all day. It's going to be great. Now, he wasn't saying that. He's saying, blessed are you poor. What he's saying is that once you come into the kingdom, you're blessed. You're blessed that you can tap into a kingdom that the resources that you have available to you are not based on the circumstances in the environment that you're in. Neither is your access to those resources based on your pedigree, your background, your color, your education level, or anything. And this is something that's provided for everybody in the kingdom. Just look at it this way. If somebody has a baby and they're in the hospital and deliver a child, and they're coming home, normally at the house, they have it all prepared because the child is coming home, so a baby bed is there, baby food is there, diapers are there, all of that. Well, that's the same way in the kingdom. Once you get born again, the only way you can come into the kingdom is be born into it. Well, once you're born into it, all the provisions and everything you'll ever need, because God has seen your future and provided for it, everything is already in the kingdom. So now you don't have to be concerned about what happens to this world's economy. Because you know that whether the debt ceiling goes up or goes down, you're going to still be provided for. And not only are you going to be provided for, but God has put away for you a phenomenal amount of wealth. Whew. Oh, Jesus. See, he knew you were going to be an ambassador. And nobody representing God is broke. So God now is giving you a supply from heaven so that you can live not according to the meager resources of the earth, but you can live according to the resources of heaven. So everything you could need or ever want is already in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, if you will help me by putting Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 up on the screen, please, I would appreciate that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who one day will bless you with all spiritual blessing. Now, who hath, he's already done it, bless you with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. How? In Christ. Now, how do you receive those blessings? By faith. How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So God made it so when you hear the word of the kingdom, faith will come so that you can access promises that are already in the spirit form, but you can pull them now down in your natural life. Say amen to that. Now, here's something that I got, and I just want to throw it out to you. It's kind of deep, and so everybody may not get it. Some may kind of choke, but it's something. It's meat, and I put it down here. I saw something that each time Jesus had a need, it seems that the provisions were there to meet that need. Now, of course, he had to do something to manifest the provision. But the provisions were there. And I looked at that and I said, you know, this time thing. Now, I'm saying this because if God expected us to be subject to time, then he never would have given us faith. I better say that again. I told you, I didn't want you to choke. If God expected us to be subject to time, he would never have given us faith. Say amen.
Amen.
Because faith has no time. Faith declares when something will be, and time bows to it. I'll say it again. Faith declares when something will be, and time bows to it. You might have one time I was preaching in Virginia, and a dear lady came up, she got born again, bless her heart. And the next thing you know, I asked her, what's wrong with your arm? She had it in a cast. I said, what's wrong with it? She said, well, I broke it. She broke it to the point that she couldn't move her fingers and so forth. So I said, do you believe Dr. Jesus is a healer? And of course, you know, she was at the altar and the mic was on her. She said, yes. I said, well, let's just prove this out. Because I believe that the doctors did the best they could and thank God for the physicians. But what time did they give you that this arm was going to have to be in a cast? She said, well, some 6 to 8 weeks. I said, do you believe Dr. Jesus can take care of your situation tonight? You don't have to wait 6 to 8 weeks. Well, I guess so. Well, I had preached on dominion over time. See, because God said that he had given Adam dominion over all the earth. All the earth includes time. Oh, I sure hope I'm talking to the right bunch. So what did I do? I just laid hands on that cast and prayed in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay, all right, got it? All right, so he said, "You, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and in my name they shall what? Recover." Well, the moment I did that, she started moving her fingers, she started crying, she started boo-hooing, talking about, look at that, that's healed. Well, what happened? Faith overrode time. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying you don't have to wait till payday. You gotta get it. Now, what I did is I looked at the life of Jesus and I start looking at the things that he did. I have you at Luke chapter 6. Would you put something there? And then turn with me real quick over to John in John's Gospel chapter 6. I have 13 minutes and 45 seconds left. John's Gospel chapter 6. Now, this is very important to you now, because sometimes we move by tradition and really not being moved by the revelation of the Word of God. Look what it says here in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. He said to Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, what Philip did, immediately Philip took this and Philip made a translation of this according to how long you could work to get enough bread to feed this many people. In other words, 200 penny worth is about 8 months' wages. So right away, he's thinking working for it. But you can't really earn anything that comes out of heaven because it's already yours. Is it the right bunch now? So Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Notice he's thinking insufficiency. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what is that among so many? Now, this is also interesting. Notice what he said. There's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, understand what Jesus did. He taught these principles of the kingdom. Got it? Now he's proving them. Just like you go to a class in mathematics before the semester's up, somebody's going to prove you to see if you learned anything. So notice what he did. He did that. And what Philip answered here, Andrew Simon answered, there's a lad here. This is where you got to watch it. Because God showed him the answer. But when God shows you something, you got to watch it because it'll zoom through your mind. Now, I want you to get this because this is where I get messages. You see, revelation can't be taught. It's got to be caught. You got to catch it. You got to catch it. See, you'll catch it and somebody else send messages and what was that? What was that? They didn't catch anything. And to move forward with God, you can't move forward with information. You got to have revelation. Say that. Let me come over here. And when it comes through like that, you got to grab it. We have healing services here. When we have healing services, I really have to be prayed up because you got to pray in the Holy Ghost enough to get up above this fleshly talking to you, because you got to be sensitive to the voice of God, because all you have to do is hear God and do what he says, because that's what he's going to prove out. You got what I'm saying? And so when that comes through, he'll speak to you, say, boom, say, you know, boom, say, put this in there, do this, sow this, so forth, and it'll come through, but it'll keep going. Remember, spiritual truth is always under attack. Why? Because it's got such power to it. So the moment here he is, he says that, but what is that among so many? Right away, his natural mind reasoned that out, and he went back to his natural thinking. But he had the right answer. He saw it. It was the seed that Jesus needed to make that work. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there is much grass in a place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather. Somebody say gather. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. If you go back, don't go back there right now, but Exodus chapter 16 is where God starts using the word gather. And this is when they were in the wilderness, and now they didn't have any food, but God's going to give them what from heaven? Manna from heaven. And he said, I'm going to give it to you 6 days, and you're going to go out and gather it. Glory to God. You see, after you've sown that seed, you better start getting your spiritual senses together, because your harvest did come. Say amen to that. And all you got to do is go out and what? Gather it, see? Just gather it. You don't have to struggle for it. Just gather it. So what happened then? Here he is. And he goes out, he said, and gather up that remained, nothing be lost. And they gathered 12 baskets full. Now, they didn't know what was out there. Now, don't think this is some food that dropped off the corner of somebody's mouth. This is food that had never been touched. God always gives you more than enough. Lord. So now, what is happening? Here's my point. Time. Got it? And the Bible talks about in the last days. Well, I think I better turn you to it. Turn to Amos chapter 9, please. Amos chapter 9. I got 7 minutes and 15 seconds. Amos chapter 9. Hallelujah. Now, if you can't find Amos, I want to let you know it is in there. So just look on the board. Praise God. Verse 13, watch this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. That means it's going to come in the future, and it's now is. That the plowman shall overtake the who? Reaper. And the treader of grapes, him that what? Soweth seed. Now, what does that mean, the plowman shall overtake the reaper? It means that the time between sowing and reaping is going to go away. That you're coming into a time now, the moment you sow it, it's going to come back up. Got it? So I'm saying, look at Jesus. He had a need. What was the need? Feed the people. What did he do? He asked for seed. What did they do? They sowed the seed. How quickly did they get a harvest? Come on, say it again. Immediately. Turn to Luke chapter 5, please. Now, I'm saying that perhaps we have not been thinking like God, and that God can give you your harvest right away. Faith determines when the time will be. Are you with me? So look at chapter 5. Put up there verse 1. And he said this, Luke chapter 5, glory to God. That's all right. You're going to get it. I don't know about you. I'm going to get mine. It came to pass, people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, who were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A draught means great increase. And Simon answered him and said, Master, we've toiled all night. Say toil. God says that your days of toiling are over. Your days of struggling, trying to get your ends met are over. I said, are over. And Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy what? Word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish, so many that the net broke. What was the seed that God used? Come on, come on. What was the seed that God used? The boat. He had to have some seed. Because as long as the earth remained, there's going to be what? Seed time and harvest. Right? You're not going to get around some seed. Don't you think? Lord, bless those who gave. Lord, bless those who didn't give. Well, wait a minute. You're going to have to sow something if you're going to have to reap something. God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, come on, that shall he also reap. Come on over to 1 Samuel, please, quick. I got 3 minutes, 24 seconds. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, hallelujah. Now, what did I tell you? I told you now you've got to expect to get it right away. That faith declares when something's going to be done and time bows to it. Glory to God. Here's a woman named Hannah. Hannah hadn't had any kids. And I'm telling you, Hannah was starting to feel embarrassed and a little hurt and all kinds of things because it seemed like God had shut up her womb. So what did Hannah do? Look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. Now notice, let's stop right there. Even though she prayed and wept, nothing happened. Come on now. I'm talking about you can pray and weep. You can fast and do everything else. But until you sow a seed, honey, there is no harvest coming in. I don't care. You can't get God to violate himself. He made the rule. He made the rule. A lot of people been trying to make God do something he didn't say. He is not going to do that. Look at verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon my affliction of the handmaid and remember me, say, remember me. And not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord that the days of his, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come nigh his head. Glory to God. Look at verse, come on down here and look at verse 17. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, what made God move on Hannah's behalf? A vow. What does a vow do? A vow goes into your future and takes a seed from your harvest and brings it back into the now, and God gives you that harvest on credit. Got it? On credit. But the book of Ecclesiastes warns you, don't make a vow if you're not gonna pay it, because it might be taken out of your hide. Now, I just put that in my myself, but my point to you is, no, but they're serious. You see what a vow can do? A vow, that's why people come sometimes. They make a vow. And you make a vow, God will move still. Because a vow is just like a seed. But you got to pay it because he's giving it to you on credit. 2 Corinthians, got 11 seconds. Praise God. 2 Chronicles, I didn't mean 2 Corinthians. 2 Chronicles, please. And look at 2 Chronicles and verse 1, chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Glory to God. See, I'm telling you, folks, you don't need to be concerned about the recession, oppression, depression, recession, you know, debt ceiling. You see, you're not on that system anymore. Isn't this wonderful? I'm on heaven's system. And it's plenty in daddy's house. Look what happened here. Here's a man named Solomon. Notice what happened. Now, Solomon had a need here. He had been put in a place of leadership, but he felt that he lacked wisdom. Now look what happened. Verse 6. And Solomon went up thither into the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Folks, there's something about 1,000 that moved God. I'm telling you right now. Offering upon it. And that night did God appear to Solomon and say to him, now what do you want me to give you? Praise God. How would you like God to show up in your room tonight and say what you want? Woo! None of those took time. Not a one. And every time you watch Jesus work, not a one took time. When he sowed it, pop, there it was. And then he said, the things that I do shall you do too. Well, that's all I needed to know. Praise God. If it'll come right away for Jesus, it'll come right away for me. The only thing I need to do is get my believing up. Say amen to that. So what am I telling you? This is your time. Not only God will use you to get your needs met, he'll use you to sow a seed for somebody else. Somebody will be hurting. You say, Lord, I'm going to sow a seed. I'm going to get a seed for them. Praise God. And he'll bless you so that you can help be a blessing to them. Amen. Now, remember, this is a heart thing, because all this comes through your heart. And you got to clean your heart out. Just get rid of jealousy. Get rid of envy. Come on now. Watch this. Get rid of selfishness. See, get rid of this kind of spirit that you want to be somebody in front of people. Get rid of, because all of that contaminates the flow. Create in me a clean heart. And Lord, renew the right spirit within me. Say amen to that. Now remember, you are ambassadors for Christ. There should be a difference between you and the world. And I'm not just talking about a difference that you can sit up and praise God. I'm talking about a tangible difference. That when they're going through, you are out and helping them to come on through. Say amen to that. All right. That's faith for provision. Remember, there's plenty there. How much is there? Phenomenal amount. God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. It's no use you sitting down here hurting and you got plenty up in store. Say amen to that. Now, how does God release it? His only way is to sow a seed. Don't think he's going to release it without a seed, folks. It's got to take a seed to get what you need. And it's not greed. It's your provision. And God wants to give it to you. Don't forget, we're going to Africa at the end of this month. And we have a part on the envelope that says missions there, if God is speaking to your heart about that. So along with your tithes and offerings and so forth, we're receiving funds for that trip as well. So it's going to be a blessed trip. Remember, you can't go. You maybe have to go to a job, keep your kids and whatnot, but BW can go. Bill Winston, that's me. I can go. Here I am, Lord, send me. And I'll go for you. And everything that I do, you get the credit for. Why? Because your money represents you. You're going right along with me. You got it?
Yeah.
All right, now, faith determines when something is going to be, and time must bow to it. Say amen.
Amen.
So when you put that in that plate tonight, you believe God for a speedy return. And Lord, I believe you. And this, you're not giving, you're not giving to get, you're giving to receive. Got it? Y'all ready? Now, that's my message. I went a little over, about half a minute over. But That's all right. I'm staying on time this year. I've turned over a new leaf. I don't want anybody to distract me from my new leaf I've turned over. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand, praise, and let's...